Welcome to Take Note on WPSU. I'm Patty Satalia. This week, two annual arts festivals will take place in the State College area. WPSU's Christine Allen talks with representatives of both of them. Plus, we'll tell you about BookFest PA, which celebrates the written word. But first, we'll hear from Rick Bryant. He's the executive director of the Central Pennsylvania Festival of the Arts. The festival runs Wednesday through Sunday in downtown State College and on the Penn State University Park campus.
Rick Bryant, executive director of the Central Pennsylvania Festival of the Arts in State College. Welcome to Take Note.
Thanks so much. I'm delighted to be here.
You run an arts festival that happens on a Wednesday through Sunday every summer. What is your vision for this festival?
Well, we intend to have something for everybody, and we believe that people should be able to come down to downtown State College and take something home other than a Coca-Cola. So you could have a good experience, you can get a great piece of art, you can grab a bite to eat, or you can even go in a store and get a Penn State t-shirt. It's all good to us, but it's for the entire community, and we sort of define the community as really the whole state of Pennsylvania.
How might that vision have evolved since you became the executive director a decade ago?
Well, since I've been the director, I've really tried to keep in mind that the audience is an essential part of what we do. My father sold insurance, and he used to say that you don't make any money mistaking your taste for that of the public. And I really try not to mistake my taste for that of the public because, you know, if it were my taste, we'd have a lot of clarinetists and an occasional yodeler. And, you know, that's just really not what the public likes.
What does the public like?
Our public likes some rock. It likes some blues. It likes some bluegrass and Americana on Saturday night. It likes to be able to sort of boogie on the old main lawn.
You were director of visual arts before you became executive director for the Central PA Festival of the Arts. So tell us about the process by which the artists are chosen.
Sure. Artists apply online today, and we use a software system called Zap. It's used by most art fairs in the country. And artists upload four images of their work and one image of their booth with their work displayed in it. We get about 1,000 applications, and then over 2 days in February, we bring in 5 outside experts, and they look at all 5,000 images. And at the end, the top 300 get in the show. Now, for local people, and we define local as people whose primary residence is in Centre County or the contiguous counties, they have the opportunity to bring in their work in person. They can bring in 4 pieces of their product. They have to leave the building, and then the jurors look at that again. And that's sort of an access program because we want a strong local art element. 50 people get in based on the score that they had at last year's festival. The jurors will come back to the festival in the summer, and they look at every single booth in the festival, and they score them again. And then we give out prizes. Our top prize is $2,500. And then we use the top scores, and we invite the top 50 out of the 300 back. And probably 45 will accept. You know, some people will have to go to a wedding, or their dog will have died or something else, so they, you know, do something else that weekend.
Mm-hmm. So overall, how many artists will we see?
Actually, I can't tell you that because some artists are husband and wife or domestic partners or something like that. And some artists take up a double booth. So I, you know, it's sort of hard to count, but there'll be give or take probably 350.
Well, that sounds like plenty.
And they come from about 35 states. They come from a long ways away.
And the kind of range of the media that we'll see?
It's everything from baskets to wood. And we have a lot of people who do jewelry, photography, and ceramics. Those are the 3 most popular media. And that's because that's what people buy.
Do you have any way of tracking how much sells at the Arts Festival? Or is that really not something that's an important measure?
We do try to track that. We ask people in a survey. We do a survey each year and ask them how much they sell. Now, we don't know if they tell us the truth or not, but we ask. And if you're good at your job, you do very well. Another way we have to track what people sell is through a rating system in Sunshine Artist Magazine, which is a trade journal, and artist rank shows there based on their sales. And our national ranking is number 2. So,
wow.
Which means that our audience likes to shop. And, you know, we're competing against shows in major metropolitan areas in Atlanta, in Chicago, in San Francisco, and so on. So our sales per artist are really darn good.
Let's talk about the entertainment.
Okay.
How do you begin to put the entertainment schedule together?
Well, it's pretty challenging. Fortunately, we have a great performing arts director. Her name is Doris Mack. And between Doris and I, we listen to everything that comes in. And things have to work on several levels. The people have to be available. They have to be affordable. They have to be within our technical abilities, and they have to sort of be in the festival mindset because there's an hour between acts on any given stage. So you have to get on stage, get your act together, play your gig, and get off while somebody else is trying to get on. And, you know, not everybody can do that.
And
you know,
no room for divas on those stages.
You right? got it. No room for divas. And believe me, there are divas. And you wouldn't think that somebody who makes their living playing at a festival could be a diva, but they can.
There are always some old favorites at the festival who seem to be there every year, and then some new acts, some new performers now and then. So who's new this year that we may not have heard before?
Probably won't have heard of the Four Bitchin' Babes. It's a female sort of rock comedy review, and one of the babes is Deidre Flint, who's a singer-songwriter who's a regular at our festival. You know, she sings folk songs for the Volvo driver, as I like to say. You know, they appeal to the upscale, educated audience who, like, knows about the metric system and stuff like that. And we're having the babes at the State Theater on Saturday night of the festival, and I think that they'll be a big hit. I believe their program is called Hormonal Imbalance. So... So I think that they'll be a big hit. We're also having a bluegrass band from Eastern Pennsylvania called the Bovine Social Club. They won the prize for the best name. So we're really excited about that. So we really do have a wide range of entertainment. And we have Mac Arnold, the blues guy. He played in high school with James Brown.
Wow.
He lives in either
that
Atlanta
James Brown.
Or Florida. Yeah, the hardest working man in show business.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're delighted to have him. He'll do a great show at the Festival Shell.
And more than just musicians, there's the new music festival from Penn State happening.
Yeah, that's, we had that 2 years ago, and we're delighted to have it back. It really was an audience favorite. They're sort of workshop versions of musicals, so they're not fully staged. There's not costuming, and the people might hold the script or music in their hand, but that'll be at the Penn State Downtown Theater Center. And they're actually also doing a cabaret late at night, so you can go into the lobby and, you know, sing show tunes around the piano, and that'll be kind of fun.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
I'll look for you.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
And, you know, we have new old favorite is the Pat Farrell Community Sing. That'll be Wednesday night at the State College Presbyterian Church. And people really do like to make a joyful noise, and they'll sing some show tunes and some maybe a hymn or, you know, things you sang in elementary school, and they really have a great time. It's led by Tony Leach and Doug Miller. Doug Miller's the former choral director here at Penn State, and Tony Leach is famous for directing Essence of Joy.
I want to mention that the first day of the festival, always a Wednesday, is Children and Youth Day. What is different about this day from the rest of the festival?
One thing that's quite noticeable as soon as you get out of your car is you didn't know that there were so many children in central Pennsylvania because downtown State College is overtaken by about a kabillion kids. And one of our signature events is the Children and Youth Sidewalk Sale. And it's sort of a mini version of the sidewalk sale and exhibition that takes place from Thursday through Sunday. It's for kids ages 8 to 18 who live in or have relatives in central Pennsylvania, and they make and sell their own work. And it has to be original work. It can't be something from a kit or something that's just sort of paint by the numbers. They have to conceive and make their own product, and they're out there themselves selling it from 10 till 3. You would not believe the creativity of kids. It's really cool. They're not juried, but they have to follow some simple rules. In other words, they can't sell things with trademarks on them. So, you know, you can't make Penn State T-shirts and sell those. They can't sell food, and they can't do some on-site personalization. And if you can follow those simple rules, you can get in. They pay a booth fee, like everybody else. They pay $15. And they're both artists and capitalists. It's pretty cool.
How does all of this get paid for? What are the funding sources?
Artists in the sidewalk sale, they pay a booth fee and a jury fee. To have a booth at the festival, you pay a jury fee of $30, whether you get in or not. And then if you are accepted, a fee for a single booth is $480. So there's $120-some thousand right there. So we have a great number of corporate sponsors who will pay to sponsor a stage for a certain day, or they might pay to have a booth on site to show off their product. So we have a small annual fund. We're a 501c3. We sell water. We sell T-shirts. And we do about anything for a buck. And we get a small grant from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, too.
What about you? I understand you started in the insurance business.
I did.
Did you expect when you were growing up that you would be the director of an arts festival?
No, I thought I would be Don Draper, you know, with maybe not the interesting backstory. But I thought I would wear a suit and carry a briefcase like my father and grandfather. And it sort of didn't work out that way. When I was in the insurance business, the arts festival was just outside my door. And really, it was a lot more fun than selling insurance. And sort of got into it by picking up the trash. That was my first volunteer job. You know, one day I had sort of a eureka moment that, you know, I really don't like selling insurance and I'm not putting a kid through Harvard, so I could do anything I want. So I sold my agency without really having a plan. And then shortly after that, somebody who worked at the festival where I'd been a key volunteer left, and I applied for the job as director of visual arts, and I was fortunate to be hired. And then a few years later, the director, he was looking for greener pastures, and he left, and they hired me.
Well, now I've seen some very nice photos on your Wandering Wahoo blog. Are you an artist as well?
I say that I'm artistic. You know, when people walk in my house, it doesn't look like everybody else's house. They say, oh, are you an architect? And I say, well, I went to architecture school. And I guess sort of my creative outlet is my blog. So I write the copy and I take the photos and I try to meld them together and, you know, have something to say. So, and I hope people do read it. I think I have about 3 readers, and I'm glad that you're one of them.
Good luck with the festival.
Well, thank you so much.
Rick Bryant, thanks. Thank you for coming and talking to us on Take Note.
It was a delight.
That was WPSU's Christine Allen talking with Rick Bryant, executive director of the Central Pennsylvania Festival of the Arts, which takes place Wednesday through Sunday in downtown State College and on the Penn State University Park campus. If you're just joining us, this is Take Note on WPSU. Next up, Christine Allen talks with John Madison about the People's Choice Festival, which takes place Thursday through Sunday on the grounds of the Pennsylvania Military Museum in Bowlesburg.
John Madison, co-director of the People's Choice Festival of Pennsylvania Arts and Crafts. Welcome to Take Note.
Well, thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
Can you tell us, first of all, how the People's Choice Festival got started?
Well, it started back in 1993 by a man named George Marion, who was a local resident. And at that time, they were looking for a venue for more Pennsylvania artists to show their wares in Center County at the Bowlesburg Military Museum on Route 322 in Bowlesburg, PA.
As co-director of the festival, can you describe your vision for the People's Choice Festival?
Well, the vision, I think, for the festival is just to provide a space where people can come and show their wares. We have a lot of fine arts and crafts people in the state of Pennsylvania. And basically, the vision is to go on and on and on as long as we can possibly do it.
How does a person get into the festival as an artist?
Well, it's very simple, actually. You can go to our website. There is a section for artisans, and you click on that section, and you can download an application to become a vendor at the festival.
And how do you decide on who the vendors are?
Well, we have a committee of people who we jury every year. We try to bring in a few outsiders, some people not biased on any opinion, and we have them select from over 200. We had about 250 applications this year, and we have right around 185 artists participating in the show.
Are all of these artists whose work is on display at People's Choice, are they all from Pennsylvania?
Every one of them, yes. We watch that very closely. You must have a Pennsylvania address. We check IDs and everything when people are checking in because it is closed to Pennsylvania artists, yes.
What about the entertainment? Give me an idea of the scope of the entertainment at this year's festival.
We have anything from jazz to rock to Dixieland. We have dancing. We have big band sound. We have a lot of entertainment for the children out there. Starting last year, we started bringing in some bigger name groups. This year, we're bringing in let me see, My Hero Zero, which is a local group here who is very popular, draws a nice crowd. We also
have... What kind of music do they do?
They are more of a rock and roll. They're for the younger set. We have Chiz Ryder coming back again, who seems to be a great draw. He's a great local trumpet player from the area, travels all over the world. We have Jackie Brown and the Grill Street Band coming in. And we also have a very well-known act from town, which is the Bookends. They were a band in the 80s that were very local and were very well-liked, and they're also going to be visiting us this year.
And all of the entertainers are likewise from Pennsylvania?
Of the entertainers are from Pennsylvania, yes, at this point. We've discussed going outside, which I think we're going to have to bring in some bigger acts, which is something that we're continuing to look at for headliner acts.
But for this year, they're all from Pennsylvania.
This year, they're all from Pennsylvania. It's like one big happy family. Everybody from PA gets together for 4 days, and it's a great time to look at some good artwork, hear some great music, and have some wonderful food.
What kind of food is on offer there?
Oh, my, everything. There's so many I can't even begin. I mean, we've got French fries. We've got cheese steaks. We've got crab sandwiches. We've got steak sandwiches. I mean, you name it, we have it.
You mentioned kids' entertainment. Can you tell me more about kids' activities?
Well, with kids' activities every year, we have a petting zoo every year. Kids love that.
What's in the petting zoo?
Oh, Ashburn's Animals. They bring out goats and bunny rabbits and all kinds of little creatures for the kids to pet and play with. They bring ponies out for pony rides.
This is Ashburn's, you said?
Ashburn's Animals. Yes, they're a local company, and it's a nonprofit organization. So they charge like 50 cents or something for a pony ride. But, I mean, it all goes for a good cause. It helps, you know, shelter animals and things like that. We have tie-dye people where the kids can actually come in and tie-dye their own T-shirt. One of the biggest draws, we have a science museum, which is an educational tent where they can go in and look at all kinds of science projects. We also have the children's artist tent. Up to age 16, I think it is, you can apply to become a child vendor, and you can come in and whatever you make, you can sell. So we have a section all alone for the kids. And amazingly enough, some of those artists end up being in the major circle of artists because they go on, they get better in their crafts, and we've graduated a few over the years into the adult section of the festival.
Give me an idea of the range of art that's on display.
We have jewelry. We have lots of woodcrafters out there. We have potters. We have people who do glass work. A little bit of everything. Iron workers, metal workers, things like that. A little bit of everything. Woodworkers, country crafts, things like that. A lot of contemporary stuff. Great 2D artists out there. We have a little bit, I think, for everybody out there.
What's the most important reason why someone should come out to the People's Choice Festival?
Well, personally, number one would be for some great food. Secondly, I think it's a perfect atmosphere for the family. You can come out there with the family. We have dining tents and other rest areas set up so there's shade out there. It's just a great family atmosphere. I mean, there's a lot of things for the kids to do to keep them busy all day. They stay busy most of the time on the little choo-choo. We have a choo-choo train that runs around out there, and they get into that. So
It's an actual ride for
kids?
Yes,
it is. It's an actual ride. And you see kids and adults and everybody on that train just having a good time out there. And I think it's just the family atmosphere of the whole thing.
John Madison, co-director of the People's Choice Festival, thank you for stopping by.
And we thank you very much and hope to see you out at the festival.
That was WPSU's Christine Allen talking with John Madison, co-director of the People's Choice Festival. The festival takes place Thursday through Sunday on the grounds of the Pennsylvania Military Museum in Bowlesburg. Next, we talk with Christina Yezdimir from SCLO Center Region Library in State College. The library puts on BookFest PA every year as part of the State College Arts Festival. Yezdimir is one of the organizers, and she talked with WPSU's Emily Reddy about the authors who will be a part of this year's event and the books they'll be talking about.
Well, thanks for talking with me,
Christina. Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
So this is the fourth year of BookFest PA.
Yes.
And as in previous years, there are going to be a number of local authors who will be selling and signing books all day on Saturday at a tent outside the library. There'll also be several featured authors who will be giving talks about their books. So I thought we'd go through a few of them.
Sure.
The name on the books of one of the speakers is Charles Todd, but there's something interesting about the author Charles Todd. What is that?
Yes, Charles Todd is actually the pen name for a mother-son writing team, and one of them actually is named Charles Todd, but his mother is named Carolyn Todd.
Something that might interest our WPSU-TV-loving listeners is that the Charles Todd team's mysteries have been compared with the PBS show Downton Abbey.
Oh, I know Downton Abbey is super popular, and these books are also set in the post-World War I era. Charles Todd's main character, Inspector Ian Rutledge, is a veteran of World War I, and he has a little bit of a post-traumatic stress syndrome. It's not called that, but shell-shocked.
Right.
Yeah, and he has to work through those issues as he solves his crimes.
Well, he's a detective at the
same correct.
Time. That's correct. And then there's Becky Aikman, who will talk about her memoir, Saturday Night Widows. So this book is nonfiction?
That's right. Becky Aikman is a journalist, and her husband was also a writer, and she had the misfortune that he had a rare form of cancer, and eventually he died. And she was relatively young, and so she had the experience of being a young widow. A lot of her friends couldn't really relate to her. She tried to go to a support group for widows, and it was women much older than her. And she felt that she needed to find people that she could more relate to. And also the Elizabeth Kubler-Ross stages of grief that they went through for the support group, she didn't find that those were helpful. And she actually went and talked to scientists who were studying grief and found that it was a misconception that this was for people experiencing the loss of a loved one. It was more for people who are going through the death process themselves.
Now, the description makes it sound like this could be kind of a depressing book, but it's actually kind of comical, right?
Yes. Well, Becky Aikman is, I think she has an excellent sense of humor, and she described at the beginning of the book when she went to the support group that she was ready to move past being sad all the time and take a more upbeat look at life. And that was part of what the support group she developed for younger widows who wanted to figure out how to move to the next stage of what they were going to do with their life now that they had their partner missing, how they were going to redefine themselves as a person, what were the next stages that they were going to take, and to help each other through that with doing things that were fun in addition to talking about the grieving process. Part of the research that she found out is that the conception is that you're supposed to talk about your grief all the time, sort of wallow in it, but now there's further research that shows that that's not really good for you. I mean, there's a process where you do that, but then to keep harping on that isn't good. You need to find ways to relieve yourself from that to get on with your life. So they did fun things like go do cooking classes and have parties, and I believe I haven't quite finished the book yet. I'm getting through it, but I think they take a trip to Morocco later in the book, and I'm excited to read that.
So you have a little bit of time left to finish your book.
Yes, I do.
And then something very different, although still nonfiction, Andrew Blum writes about the internet, but specifically the physical internet, the cables, the server rooms, what have you. It sounds kind of technical. Will the not so technically inclined enjoy the book and Blum's talk?
I think they definitely will. It's about making that sort of technical side of it accessible to people. He said that he got the idea for the book when a squirrel chewed his internet cables and he lost the connection. And that really sort of made him think about how the internet got to his house. What is the internet really? I mean, how is everything interconnected so that we're able to Skype with people in China? And he is a very accessible speaker. He's done a TED Talk, and he's also done the talk show circuit, so he's had to practice being very entertaining on those. I think I saw him on the Colbert Report or the Daily Show. So he's had a lot of experience talking about this to make it accessible to people who are just curious.
Then there are two authors of books for children who'll be speaking. First, Jody Moore, who's from Bowlesburg. A couple of years ago, she talked about her book at Bookfest, When a Dragon Moves In. I read it. It was very cute, and the illustrations were really lovely. This year, Good News Nelson is her book. She's got a different illustrator, so I noticed that the book has a different look to it.
When a Dragon Moves In is one of my favorites, too. I bought that for my kids the first year she was at Bookfest, and they love that. And Good News Nelson is another charming story. It's about Nelson, who is a newspaper boy, and he finds out about there is a cat shelter that is in trouble. So he has to figure out how to help the shelter, and he also manages to save the environment a little bit on the way. So the big theme of the book is that anybody can make a difference. Jody Moore wants kids to feel like they can get out there and they can change things, that they do have the power to do that, which is a very positive message.
And the final speaker is Annie Matzik. Her book is Eat It, Food Adventures with Marco Polo, Volume 1, Leaving Home. So it's sort of a cookbook for kids, but with a story, too?
That's right. And Annie Matzik is the illustrator, and she's famous. She did work in the Highlights magazine. I used to read that when I was a kid, and one of the most prominent things I noticed is that she did the Goofus and Gallant cartoon. There was a boy who always did the right thing, Gallant, and a boy who did the wrong thing, Goofus. So I remember that from childhood. So I'm really excited that I have that little connection with her. And so, yes, the book Eat It, Food Adventures with Marco Polo is about a boy who is part of Marco Polo's group. And they travel along the Silk Road and they find out about the cultures and cuisines of the countries where they visit. So there's a little bit of a story, and then there's Annie's lovely illustrations of the foods that are used in the book. And it's a great way to talk to kids about cultures and cooking and get them involved in the cooking process and show
maybe
them.
Get them a little more adventurous,
right,
in their eating, maybe, too.
Yes, that would be great. I'd like to do that with my own kids. And
I know there are a lot of local authors as well. There are too
That's
many
right.
to really get into.
We
one
have about
by
20.
One.
That's right.
Anyone particular to look out for? Maybe someone new? I mean, I don't want you to make you choose between your children here.
Oh, yeah, we have so many. Gloria Mallett is new this year. She is a romance writer, and she has gotten some awards and great press with some of her books. And Ed Dion is a local veterinarian. He actually wrote his book at Sklo Library using our computers. So he has very amusing stories about his experience over the years as a veterinarian, some of the animals that he's worked with. And so that's a great book for animal lovers. And Denise Kaminsky wrote a few books with the Nittany Lion as the main character. Nittany Lion gets a big surprise. Nittany Lion tells the legend of Nittany. One of them is how he cures the hiccups. So he goes around and asks people how to cure hiccups. And so people tell him different methods. And then there is a method that she says works at the end. I have not tried it yet myself, but
do
next
you,
time
do
I get
the
hiccups.
Do you know what the method is?
I'm trying to remember. I think it's a little bit complicated, but read the book and you'll see. So.
Well, we'll have a link to the schedule for Bookfest PA on our website at wpsu.org/radio. Thanks for talking with me, Christina.
Thanks for having me on.
That was WPSU's Emily Reddy talking with Christina Yezdimir from Sklo Library and State College. Bookfest PA takes place Saturday, July 13th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. We have links with more information about all three events on our website at wpsu.org/take note. Listen next week when we'll talk with artist Beverly McIver about her work and about the HBO documentary Raising Renee, which chronicles 6 years of her life raising her disabled sister. I'm Patty Satalia, WPSU.